So we're making better decisions, and the fruit quality should even be better on this next go around.
In the present, I need to evolve, I need to change lots of things.
Okay, I think a few times they asked me, Giovanni, do you have fun in what you're doing?
Well, you reinvent yourself, right? I think that's really where that begins and ends.
I think 18's legendary. It's going to go down in history.
I haven't made the same wine twice, have no intention of duplicating anything.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 353. This week we feature Victoria Angove of Angove Family Winemakers, McLaren Vale, Australia.
This podcast is sponsored by Release Winery. Every wine tells a story. Each growing season, it's our goal to create an artisan Napa Valley wine of exceptional quality. Join us as the story of this ultra-limited wine continues. Learn more at releasewinery.com.
The very best thing any wine lover can do is to taste wines from all over the world. You should never limit yourself. A great example of unexplored territory for many people is Australian wines. It's not just about Shiraz. These wines are also an exceptional value. We were in Chicago for the Far From Ordinary tasting at the Chicago Athletic Association, where we spoke with Victoria Angove of Angove Family Winemakers. Victoria and her siblings are the fifth generation of Angove winemakers, and we were lucky to spend a few minutes with her in the crowded bar on Michigan Avenue. You can also hear Victoria on our Vino Lingo segment, defining the wine term, the long game. Back in Chicago, and I am here with Victoria Angove. How are you doing, Victoria?
Hi, I'm thrilled to be here. It's just great to be back in Chicago. I haven't been here for a very long time.
It's good to see you guys back. I was here a couple of years ago, and great interviews, great people, and more importantly, great wines. Your particular winery, it's called Angove Family Winemakers?
That's correct, yeah. So we're one of Australia's oldest family-owned and operated wine companies. We were established by my great-great-grandfather all the way back in 1886.
So that's like five generations?
Yeah, my brother, sister, and I are all part of the fifth generation. My great-great-grandfather was actually a doctor, and he travelled from the UK and travelled with his wife and five young children on a ship and set up a medical practice in the Adelaide foothills. And he started making wine and brandy for his patients. And that's where the business started. And over 133 years, we have remained family-owned and operated. And we're still making some absolute delicious wines to this day. It's a really great family business to be a part of.
It's amazing to have that kind of history. I'm looking on your shoulders. Do they sag from time to time? I mean, that's got to be a little bit of a responsibility.
It is. We always feel very, very lucky that we have had the opportunity and that we have stayed family owned. The family have, as the Australian wine industry has changed, so has the focus for our family wine business.
Now, I'm a little curious, and I'm probably putting the cart before the horse here, but are you youngest, oldest in between in terms of your siblings?
So I'm the oldest, but my brother and I are very close. There's only 17 months between us. So I think the Irish twins type thing. But then my sister Sophie is 5 years younger. So.
Well, I'm thinking about children between you and the next generation. Are there kids?
And absolutely. So I've got an 11 and a 9-year-old, Emily and Henry, and then my brother's got two girls, and my sister Sophie has only just last month had a little baby boy.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's very exciting for us.
So there's hope.
There is absolutely hope. The sixth generation is very well and truly interested. In fact, my daughter and son, I already do put to work in the cellar door. And
I've heard about parents like you.
Well, I think it's really important that kids learn a work ethic. It's one of the things that mum and dad were really keen on making sure that we understood the value of work. And And so I'm pretty keen that my children understand it as well. Obviously, at 11 and 9, there are only certain things that they're allowed to do in the space of wine. But one of the things that sets our family business apart is that we're one of Australia's, well, we are the leading organic grape grower and winemaker. So we don't use any synthetic chemicals, pesticides or herbicides at all in the vineyard. And one of the challenges that comes with that is actually around pest and disease management. And so my kids, when they come down to Cellador, have one of the very unglamorous jobs of cleaning up the millipedes, which manage to sort of just, they just wander into the Cellador, and obviously our customers don't really want millipedes underfoot when they're sampling some of our beautiful McLaren Vale wines. So my kids are very deft using the using a broom and a dustpan to clean up the millipedes.
Oh, that's a nasty job.
They're also very good at changing jugs of water and things like that. So trying to get them while they're young.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of the big things I need to talk about is exactly what wines you're making. Obviously, we're talking Australian wines here, so absolutely. What are you making?
So we are based in McLaren Vale. So McLaren Vale is a beautiful but very small region, about 45 minutes south of Adelaide in South Australia. McLaren Vale is really highly regarded for our beautiful Shiraz and also our Grenache. And they're the two varietals that we're really showcasing here in Chicago. But our family has also, we're quite new arrivals to McLaren Vale. So I said earlier we were established in the Adelaide foothills, but we fell in love with McLaren Vale about 20 years ago. We'd been working with some grape growers in the region, buying small parcels of Shiraz, and we just love the diversity of viticultural regions through McLaren Vale, but also the style of Shiraz that that we saw and we were tasting. And so in 2008 we purchased the Warboys Vineyard right in the heart of McLaren Vale, and the Warboys Vineyard is home to 90-year-old Shiraz vines, Grenache vines that are about 55 years old and just producing some absolutely outstanding flavour-packed wines. But one of the things that we love about McLaren Vale is that it's a really Mediterranean climate. It's on the coast, so it's got a lovely coastal influence that just particularly in the evenings cools down the vineyard, but the Mediterranean climate is also allowing us to do some really fun experimentation with some other Mediterranean varietals. So about 3 years ago we planted some Fiano, so an Italian white grape varietal that just seems to love our region. We also work with some friends and their Vermentino. We're doing a little bit with Tempranillo, but it really is Shiraz and Grenache that we're here to showcase here in Chicago.
Very nice. So for you, growing up in this family, was it just assumed you were going to go into the business? Was there kind of like your moment where you wanted to run away? I mean,
it was never assumed, and so Dad ran the business from as long as I can remember, and he used to take my brother and I into the winery on the weekends, give Mum a break, and we'd run around, and we grew up on one of the vineyards, and so we used to, it was always a great place to grow up as a kid on a vineyard and with a lot of freedom. And but it was never expected, and I think that was an absolute gift that Mum and Dad gave us, and because the pressure just was never there. I, on the other hand, was pretty hell-bent that I was going to run the family business. And there's a story that goes that when I was 9, my grandfather, who was the chairman of the business at the time, for some reason came and collected me from school, which in and of itself was unusual. And the story that Dad tells is that he looked at me and he said, oh, Scrap, because he called all the grandkids Scrap, because we were convinced he didn't know what our real names were. Yeah. So we were all Scrap. Scrap, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I apparently looked him in the eye and said, well, I'm going to run your winery for you, Grandpa. But from a really young age, I've always just loved the wine business. And I saw, as I got older, and I did a commerce degree, which is a business degree in Australia, but I saw this incredible opportunity to put my two loves together. So I absolutely love travelling, and I just love the opportunity to take Australian wine to the world. And so when I was in my early 20s, we'd had quite a lot of change in our business, and I saw a great opportunity to start opening new export markets and supporting export markets that were already in existence. And so I packed my bags, and I quite regularly spent a lot of time in market showcasing our wines to lots of different customers. And that's where it all started.
Wow.
My brother and sister had a really different pathway into the business. So my brother was absolutely convinced that he was going to be a snow ski instructor. And unfortunately, he had quite a lot of knee injury problems and a very nasty accident. But he went and graduated as a winemaker and spent a lot of time traveling the world, working as a winemaker in different parts of the world, including here at Domaine, not here in Chicago, but in the US at Domaine Carneros.
Oh, no kidding.
So he's also worked through Tasmania and through a couple of other European wineries. And so he joined us with a totally different skill set and very much around fine wine. He's also an incredible creative and has done an enormous amount of pushing us forward in terms of new product development. And then my sister's only joined us in the last 2 years, and she's a viticulturist. So,
wow, so you're really well spread out.
Yeah, so we've sort of got a little bit of sales and marketing and business, and then winemaking and viticulture. So we're really well balanced, and our personalities are all pretty different as well. So it's worked quite well.
So officially, how many years have you personally been in the wine business?
Oh, about 20. Mm-hmm. So, and that's not counting any of the vintages that I've done as a teenager. So we all started from the ground up. So my first job was when I was about 15 on the bottling line, and it was...
Oh, what a fun place to start. And you still have
cleaning.
Your hair in.
Yeah. And it was before a lot of things became automated, so I was actually responsible for bottle washing right in the early days. So yeah, we've worked through all of the different areas of the business, which also gives us a really great understanding of the whole process, I think.
It's a smart way to run a business.
Thank you. I'll pass that on to Dad.
So I'm sure you've had plenty of times where you've done interviews, this kind of thing. And I have a question that I like to pose winemakers, and I'm hoping it's one you've never heard before.
Okay.
I know, it's hard to believe.
I like it.
For all the times you've done interviews with the media and talked to people about what you do, what's the one question that you don't get asked that you would like to be asked?
Wow, that is an excellent question. That is a really great question.
Thank you.
And I'll answer it with a pretend answer, because I don't know the answer. I just love what I do, and I would love to know why I love it so much, because there is a inside me. There's something about being able to take the family's wines to the world that it's like a drug. There's an addictiveness to it, and I think some of it does come back to the response to the wines that we get when we show them, but it's a compulsion almost. So I wish I had a more learned answer for you, but it's just such a great industry to be in, and to have the opportunity. And I know my brother and sister feel the same way. We just feel lucky all the time.
No, I believe that. Just the fact that it goes back to your, you know, single digits in your life.
That's
right. You had no choice.
Yeah.
But don't you think, to a great degree, when it comes to wine, many people are called? And I don't want to get, like, religious here, but there is that thing, and you really can't deny it.
No, that's very true. And the one thing that is so exciting about Australian wine, and I suspect the wine industry internationally, is that everyone's got a story. We've all come to the industry in different ways, shapes or forms. We're all there for different reasons. But there's a camaraderie, particularly in the Australian wine industry, I think. And that, you know, when we're travelling together, we're always travelling as Australia first, and then our region, and then whatever business we're associated with. And that collegiate nature, I think, has always been a strength for Australia.
Well, I think in the end, too, you're all farmers to begin with.
Absolutely. And it often makes me laugh, because I like being in control. And unfortunately, in agriculture, you're not in control at all. And so there's that sort of, that dichotomy that I'm always challenged by.
It's kind of funny when you think about that. You are...
You're at the mercy of nature.
One of the things I've talked about with winemakers, I like to point out, and you're aware of this, but you're unique in that you're one of the few people in the world that live in the past. You live absolutely in the present, but you also live in the future, all
absolutely
happening at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that's really, it's even more so when it's a family business, because our decision making is not about appeasing shareholders now. Our decision making is actually about our children's children. And that's what's taken us down our organic pathway. It was never a sales and marketing strategy. It was always about sustainability in terms of viticulture and handing on the vineyards in a better state to future generations. So yeah, that future focus is all in every decision that we make. Everything is about the longer term. And Richard, my brother, and I joke about, we don't have a 10-year plan. We have a 100-year plan. And so it's a, quite a lot of future in and long-term future in how we make our decisions.
Because you're a family winery, and so many wineries are family-related, which is great, what do you regard as one of the more important things that you do as a family?
I think that as a family, we're very united on the future and where we're taking the business. But one of the things we're incredibly lucky to have is an amazing team. And many of our team have been with us well over 20 years, and they are extraordinary. And it's because of them that we've had the success and we've got the longevity that we've had. It's probably the most important lesson that my dad has taught us as the next generation, is just that this isn't actually about any one of us. It's actually about the team and about us all working together for the longer term vision.
That's a really good answer. So good or bad, or good and bad, what makes you crazy about the wine business?
To be truthful, I think it's that depth and diversity, and every time there are just so many amazing wines, not just from Australia but around the world, and there's a constant discovery. I think that there are so many varietals, and there are there's so much to explore and be delighted by, and it's probably one of the things that I love the most, and I still do lots of consumer tastings, is helping people to learn about wine. Because as you and I were talking about, wine can be really daunting, it can be overwhelming, and it can be a little bit, at times a little bit stuffy. And the opportunity to sample different wines in different opportunities and in different environments. And I always love that sort of surprise and delight that comes onto a consumer's face when they really enjoy the wine. And we've been in the USA on this trip, we've been showcasing our Grenache Shiraz Nevers, which is just a delicious, elegant, it's got beautiful fruit, little hints of spice, but the feedback on the wine has been extraordinary, and it's those moments that you think, oh, this is why I do what I do.
You were talking about talking to consumers, and this is more of a trade tasting, obviously.
Yes.
But I assume maybe you spend time in tasting rooms. You've plenty of times you get to talk to everyday people.
Absolutely.
What do you find is the greatest challenge when somebody comes to you and they say, well, I don't like whites, I don't like reds? And just kind of the base of how you educate somebody who creates a challenge for you. Oh, I like sweet wine.
Mm.
Where do you go with that?
Oh, it's a... I see it as an opportunity. So we make a really a broad portfolio of wines, and I can hand on heart say that I have a wine for almost every wine consumer. And I think there's a big role in respecting that people know themselves. My messaging is always to encourage people to try something, and if they don't like it, they can spit it out, they can tip it out, and they can try something else. Just because I think it's an awesome wine doesn't necessarily mean that they will, but I do encourage trial. I think that is the most important thing, especially as people are learning about wine, is to ask some questions, find out what they have been enjoying drinking, and try and match some of those flavour profiles with wines in our collection.
That's great. That's a good answer. Is there a myth in the wine business that kind of bugs you?
One of the challenges is that people that I see, and I see it quite a lot, is that people make declarations about particular varietals, or they have in their mind a particular... I'll give you an example to illustrate it. That would probably be best. I don't like Chardonnay. I don't like Cabernet. And my response to that is, well, Chardonnay, Cabernet can be made in so many ways or styles that you might not have found one that's to your palate or to your taste. Why don't you try this? And I think there is people do get stuck with particular biases, and trying to break through that it can be a challenge. And the only way to break through is to try and encourage them to taste wines that you think are fantastic examples. But a lot of it comes down to listening as well. So if you've got a consumer who really doesn't like an overly oaked Shiraz, but wants something that's maybe got a lot more of fruit power and is a brighter, fresher example, then I can steer you in that direction. So it's having a conversation, actually listening to the consumer, and I think that's always a challenge. I think one of our ethos as a family winemaking business is around flavour. And so we are very definite around our style of wine, and we're crafting wines with elegance and finesse and wines that are really well balanced. So we want that beautiful fruit. We want a little bit of oak, but we don't want the oak to overwhelm any of the fruit flavours. But it does come down to listening, because at the end of the day, I can't force my flavour profiles on a consumer. But it also, on the consumer end, that open-mindedness to try things, I think that's really important.
And that's your job, to try and aid them.
That's right.
Exactly. For our listeners, obviously you have a tasting room. I don't know is it the kind of tasting room somebody has to make an appointment to come to see, or can they just wander on in, or how does that work?
They can absolutely wander on in. So we've got a beautiful cellar door right in the heart of the vineyard. We've got a number of different wines on tasting. We do a wine and chocolate flight and a wine and local cheese flight. And then we also offer a local tasting platter if you want to come and have lunch. We do recommend bookings on a weekend, but there's certainly no obligation to book at all. Come in, walk in. It's like walking into a sea of vines, and the wines taste amazing here in Chicago and in the USA. But sitting on the deck, looking out over these magnificent vines, our cellar door is just sort of at the top of a valley, and we've got, if they're in the winter, sometimes there's a winter creek running through the vineyard as well. So the wines taste pretty good when you're actually in the vineyard.
Nice. And for our listeners who want to learn about you online, what is your website?
Our website is www.angove.com.au.
Excellent. Your enthusiasm is absolutely wonderful. It's so cool to see that, and
Thank you.
Really appreciate you taking that time to come down.
It's my absolute pleasure. It's been great to chat.
Learn more by visiting angove.com.au.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak and Catherine Shearer. Copyright 2019.